RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo won state party if the repression is weakening, KPK. Indonesia mulling over the possibility of the free trade with European Union. Now the news in detail. Presidential spokesman Johan Budi said in Jakarta on Wednesday that President Joko Widodo will not take part in the discussion on law on Corruption Eradication Commission KPK with the parliament if the draft is weakening the agency. Regarding the copy of the draft that is spread widely among communities, John Budi explained that President Joko Widodo has not decided if he accepts or rejects the revision. According to John Budi, President Joko Widodo is waiting for the draft handed by the parliament and will discuss it in the House plenary meeting.
Dan yang disampaikan oleh presiden secara langsung adalah satu presiden tetap konsisten.
The president said first he remains consistent that the law revision is aimed at strengthening the agency as well as opposed to eradicate corruption. If it is not aimed at it, the president will not take part of the discussion. According to me, this point is necessary for the public to know. President has been consistent so far.
Pemerintah, Presiden akan menarik diri dari pembahasan revisi Undang-Undang KPK. Ini poin yang menurut saya penting diketahui oleh publik. Ini sikap Presiden yang menurut saya konsisten ya, sejak dulu.
Furthermore, Johan Budi added that after attending the US ASEAN Summit, President Joko Widodo will reconsider the government's standpoint regarding the Law Revision on Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK. The president took such evaluation as an important step that the public put biggest hopes on KPK as well as to show the public government's commitment to strengthen the agency. President's special tar for communication, John Budi, said President Joko Widodo remains unchanged in his position. The revision of law on Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, should give greater strength to anti-graft agency. John Budi also said that President Joko Widodo is consistent. The revision should be designed to strengthen the agency and drive against corruption. Would not consider taking part in the process of revision if it would weaken the KPK. John Budi added that President also would evaluate the position of the government on the revision, in which the initiative has been taken over by the parliament from the government. He further said President Joko Widodo would evaluate the plan to revise the KPK law after his return from the United States visit or after there has been parliament decision on the draft revision. Indonesia is currently studying over the possibility of establishing free trade with the European Union, UACEPA, this year, bearing in mind that Industry Minister Director of Industry Resilience and Development of International Industry Access, Ahmad Sigit Dwi Wahyono, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that he warned not to include all sectors in the free trade agreement. Thus, he added the study team is currently selecting goods to be included in the free trade, viewing its domestic resilience. Sigit also suggested that if the Indonesian-European Union CEPA agreement is materialized, Indonesia optimist to grant 30% of European Union investment in ASEAN, which is currently standing at only 12%. President Joko Widodo has asked Google to support the development of Indonesian digital economy, adding that he wants to produce 1,000 technopreneurs by 2020. He said when meeting with Sundar Pichai, Google CEO, in the Google complex Silicon Valley in San Francisco on Wednesday that the government has made several policies to realize Indonesia's vision as the largest digital economy in Southeast Asia, worth $130 billion by 2020. President Joko Widodo also appreciated Google in his support to overcome illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing. He hopes Google could support Indonesia's effort in empowering digital economy for small and medium enterprises. Indonesian police are on high alert amid a threat that Islamic State terrorists may be planning to use cyanide to kill Indonesian security officials. This was affirmed by Jakarta Police Chief Tito Karnavian on Wednesday. A secret report warning of the threat has already circulated among security force members, and this has later been confirmed by the government and security officials. The counter-terrorism squad of the National Police, General Tito Karnavian, said, although the Jakarta police have not received the report, they had been informed of the possible threat by Densus 88. The National Police earlier said terrorists may be imitating the recent headline-grabbing case of Jessica Wongso, who allegedly murdered her friend Mirna Salihin in Jakarta by placing cyanide in her coffee. Indonesia tried to convince 16 U.S. companies regarding the steps it has taken to improve its trade and investment climate at the Economy Minister Roundtable meeting in San Francisco on last Tuesday. Chief of the Capital Investment Coordinating Board BKPN Frankie Sibrani and Trade Minister Thomas Lembon elaborated upon the government's efforts to improve the investment and trade climate in Indonesia. One of the matters that came into focus during the meeting was the government's decision to revise its investment negative list DNI and remove certain economic sectors from it. Indonesian government announced its decision to revise DNI last Tuesday. Frankie Sibrani said the revision of DNI will provide ample opportunity to foreign investors to make investment in a number of economic sectors that were so far closed to foreign investment. The last item, President's Staff for Communication Affairs John Budi said in Jakarta on Wednesday that President Joko Widodo will respond to the Constitution regarding discourse on Regional Representative Council DPD dissolution. He explained that if the dissolution of DPD is against law, President Joko Widodo would definitely reject it. John added that decision on state institution dissolution, besides referring to the law, also refers to agreement between President and legislators, namely the House of Representatives.
Poinnya begini, Presiden tentu selalu mengacu pada konstitusi. Apa yang disampaikan.
The point is that the President will act accordingly to the Constitution. If the plan is against law, definitely the President will reject it. But this is about agreement. The decision does not depend on the President, but also it depends on the Parliament.
Suara ini kan tidak ada di Presiden saja, tetapi juga ada di DPR kan.
International Labour Organization, ILO, has asked Indonesia Ministry of Manpower to take the challenge of creating design board for the local and foreign employees. That was stated by ILO's Deputy Director General for Field Operation and Partnership, Gilbert Hunbo, in his remarks at the Conference on Sustainable Development Goals, which took place in Jakarta from 17th until 18th February 2016.
I think it is particularly important for the world of work, the workers, the employers, the Ministry of Manpower, Social Affairs and Employment to take up the challenge of realizing the goal, the targets related to the decent work agenda.
According to Gilbert Hunbo, from 17 Sustainable Development Goals in 2030, the goal number 8, promoting the growth of inclusive and sustainable economic productive employment and decent work for all, is ILO's concern. Therefore, the trend of economic, social and politics in Indonesia, including its progress and achievement, becomes the focus of inclusive economic growth towards decent work for all. Previously, on last 25th until 27 September 2015, the UN headquarters in New York has conducted Sustainable Development Summit, in which there was a ceremonial activity of ratification on Sustainable Development Goals document, which was attended by 193 UN member countries, including Indonesia. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled in Indonesian language Bahasa as Unifying One. Earlier this week, Minister of Education and Cultural Affairs Anies Baswedan released tens of Indonesian language teachers for foreign speaker BIFA abroad. Some people view this is as part of the so-called soft diplomacy efforts of Indonesian nation. Through language, the global community will hopefully know more about the country and the nation of Indonesia. In the short term, the BIFA teachers can also function as ambassadors of the nation. They teach not only Bahasa, but also becoming representative of the nation by showing good attitudes and behaviors in their interaction during the learning process. Of course, the launch of BIFA teachers is related to the needs or interests of foreign parties to learn Indonesian language or Bahasa. This is also in connection with the increasing role of Indonesia in establishing good relations among nations. In addition, it must be admitted that there is considerable economic potential of Indonesia. If managed well, this can be a potential source of profit for all parties, while Bahasa becomes a bridge to this. Every nation expects that their language is also learned and used by other nations. So does Indonesia. Moreover, Bahasa is not just a language spoken by hundreds of millions of speakers, but also has a long history to have developed into modern communication means. It is part of the birth of Indonesian state, unifying the first ethnic groups that inhabit the archipelago with their respective mother tongues. It can be interpreted that Bahasa is very easy to be studied and used by everyone. In addition, the uniqueness of Bahasa is its ability to absorb other languages, whether they are derived from local languages or foreign ones. This helps the progress of Bahasa in meeting time demand. Based on this background, it is not exaggerated to say if Bahasa is expected to be able to keep contribution and make other nations of the world closer and closer in an atmosphere of mutual understanding and respect. This harmony sometimes occurs because of trivial issues such as misunderstanding. Through the mastery or the use of a language that is easily understood by both parties, this can be reduced, even avoided. So far, Indonesian people have already known English as an international language and some other languages in certain regions and specific users. Indonesian language or Bahasa itself, which is increasingly widespread in use, complements the various languages of the world. In fact, it is possibly becoming a universal language for all nations. So let's learn Bahasa. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to our regular program, Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on 18th of February, 1930, when Pluto was discovered. Pluto is a dwarf planet in the Kuiper Belt, a ring of bodies beyond Neptune. It was the first Kuiper Belt object to be discovered. It is the largest and second most massive known dwarf planet in the solar system, and the 9th largest and 10th most massive known object directly orbiting the Sun. Pluto was discovered by Clyde Tombaugh in 1930 and was originally considered the 9th planet from the Sun. After 1992, its status as a planet fell into question following the discovery of several objects of similar size in Kuiper Belt. In 2005, Eris, which is 27% more massive than Pluto, was discovered, which led the International Astronomical Union, IAU, to define the term of planet formally for the first time the following year. This definition excluded Pluto and reclassified it as a member of the neutral planet category, and specifically as a Plutoid. The next event was in 1932 when Manchukuo was a puppet state in Northeast China and Inner Mongolia, which was governed under form of constitutional monarchy. The area, collectively known as Manchuria by Westerners and Japanese, was designated by China's erstwhile Qing dynasty as the homeland of the ruling family's ethnic group, the Manchus. But the Manchus themselves never used Manchuria as a place name to refer to the area. In 1931, the region was seized by Japan following the Mukden incident, and a pro-Japanese government was installed 1 year later with Puyi, the last Qing emperor, as the nominal regent and imperial. The independence of Manchuria was proclaimed on 18th of February 1932 and renamed to Manchukuo. Manchukuo's government was established in 1945 after the defeat of Imperial Japan at the end of World War II. The territories formerly claimed by the puppet state were first seized in the Soviet invasion of Manchuria in August 1945 and then formally transferred to China's administration in the following year. The next event was in 2005 when Metro TV journalists held as hostages in Iraq. Two Metro TV journalists, Mutia Hafid and cameraman Budianto, in February 18, 2005, were kidnapped and held hostage in Iraq by a group of armed men while on duty in Iraq. Metro TV established contact with Mutia 3 days earlier. After negotiating with the hostage takers assisted by the local security forces, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs and Metro TV could finally liberate Mutia Hafid and Budianto in February 21, 2005. Listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back. With me, I'm Hirmana Rahmana in our regular program, Focus. The theme of today's focus is on the need to control drug distribution and food for ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. The implementation of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, has started operating. A lot of concrete steps had been taken by the government of Indonesia to sustainably face goods from ASEAN member countries to Indonesia. Besides goods and food, medicines become a priority in the context of enforcement mechanism of the marketing authorization in Indonesia. In response to this, Head of Information Center for Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, BPOM, Rita Endel, said in Jakarta that BPOM quickly summarizes the mechanism of marketing authorization procedures of food products, drugs, and cosmetics to be able to quickly compete. As reported by Tempo.com, Rita Endel said that with the marketing authorization procedure associated with drug and food, pre-registration application will be made as short as possible. So this is expected that these measures can make more local products go quickly in the market. BPOM also requested the local products can improve their quality so that it can be accepted by any people. On the contrary to shorter registration procedure, quality of product should still be paid attention. On the other hand, BPOM increasingly strengthens local products to face the attacks of foreign products to tighten the circulating goods. Next, in the surveillance program, BPOM will check whether the product is registered. If it is registered, it will be checked again in the quality and usefulness in accordance with any information on the packaging. Then BPOM will conduct periodic testing by taking sample as post-marketing evaluation. This should be carried out to protect consumers. Meanwhile, Chairman of Regional Representative Council for Aceh, Mahrudin, said that it is timely for all high colleges in Aceh to create qualified graduates and professionals in every field of science to face ASEAN Economic Community AEC 2016. As quoted by Tribune.com, Mahrudin said that EAC is an opportunity and challenge for Aceh in particular, and Indonesian government in general to compete. Thus, Aceh can prepare competitive graduates. Efforts to encourage a sense of optimism were also stated by the founder of the Association of Indonesian Fashion Designers and Entrepreneurs, ATMI, Poppy Darsono. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Poppy admits that Indonesia has a strong capital to face ASEAN economic community because it has cultural heritage which is attached as an Indonesian identity. She also feels that to face ASEAN economic community, national designers need to increase production of high-class fashion to be exhibited in the international arena. The mood is considered to be able to make Indonesian fashion products much needed by the world's community. Indonesian identity is different, especially in Asia, so that the quality of the design and the materials must be improved. Listener that focus today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Presidential spokesman Johan Budi said in Jakarta on Wednesday that President Joko Widodo will not take part in the discussion on law on Corruption Eradication Commission KPK with the parliament if the trust is weakening the agency. Presidential Special Staff for Communication Johan Budi said President Joko Widodo remained unchanged in his position. The revision of the law on Corruption Eradication Commission KPK should give greater strength to anti-graft agency. Indonesia is currently studying over the possibility of establishing free trade with the European Union, EUSEPA, this year, bearing in mind that Industry Ministry Director General of Industry Resilience and Development of International Industry Access, Ahmad Sigit Dwi Wahyono, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that he wants not to include all sectors in the free trade agreement. President Joko Widodo has asked Google to support the development of Indonesian digital economy, adding that he wants to produce 1,000 tech operators by 2020. Indonesian police are on high alert amid a threat that Islamic State terrorists may be planning to use cyanide to kill Indonesian security officials. Indonesia tried to convince 16 U.S. companies regarding the step it has taken to improve its trade and investment climate at the Economic Minister Roundtable meeting in San Francisco on last Tuesday. Presidential Staff for Communication Affairs John Budi said in Jakarta on Wednesday that President Joko Widodo responded to the Constitution regarding the discourse on Regional Representative Council DPD dissolution. He explained that if the dissolution DPD is against law, President Joko Widodo would definitely reject it. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Curug Lowi Hejo in West Java Province. Stay tuned. The existence of social medias is very helpful to the development of and promotion in various sectors, such as tourism sector. There are many tourism objects that were previously unknown now become popular by promoting through the social medias. one of them, namely Curug Lewi Hejo, which is located at Karangtengah Village, Babakan Madang Sentul Subdistrict, Bogor, West Java. Currently, the tourism site is much visited by tourists who want to enjoy the beautiful views there. Curug Lewi Hejo is located not far from the capital city of Jakarta. You can ride from Jakarta to Sentul, then find the Karangtengah village. When you arrive in the location, you should trekking pass through the rocky road and wooden bridge. You must be careful, especially when the weather is rainy, because the roads can be slippery and wellow. But before entering and trekking to Lewi Hejo, you have to pay the entrance ticket, 10,000 rupiah per person, and tickets for pack parking vehicles, 10,000 rupiah for motorcycles, and 15,000 rupiah for four-wheeled vehicles. Going for approximately 200 meters, you will soon arrive at the waterfall. When you come closer, thunder sound of the waters increasingly heard. Listener, Lewi Hejo Waterfall is a mini waterfall. The waterfall is surrounded by a row of large stone and also a small pond with green clear water. The sources of water coming from the upper waterfall, namely Ciburial Waterfall. Actually, Lewi Hejo Waterfall is the lowermost one of the four waterfalls there. The name of Lewi Hejo comes from the spout of water when it is emitted the green light by the sun. Hejo in the local language means green. The local communities also called it Curug Bengkok. Listener, Lewi Hejo Waterfall has clear water and cool. Swimming in the pool become a major tourism activity in the waterfall. But for those of you who are brave and like a challenge, you can try to ride to the top, then jump into the water pool. The sensation of jumping from the top of the rock is so amazing. However, to jump from the top of the rock, you need a little bit extra effort to counter the rapid flow of water and rises to the top of the stone. For those who are brave, you can try other fun activities. You can choose to play under a stream of water in the waterfall. The tourism area has been completed with various facilities such as washrooms, restaurants, and parking lots. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lewi Hejo Waterfall. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition presents you the last tradition for the dead. Death cannot be predicted, and it will come to every living creature on earth. However, in Indonesia, there are some traditions to deliver and perfect the dead soul. One of unique traditions that are still done is Tiwah ritual. Tiwah ritual is a procession to take the spirit of the dead ancestors to the afterlife by purifying and moving the rest of body from the grave to a place called Sandung. Tiwah is the last level of death ritual ceremony for Dayak tribe in central Kalimantan, especially Dayak in the remote that follows Kaharingan, ancestral religion of Dayak people. Tiwah ritual aims to ease the journey of the spirit to heaven, or Lewu Tatau in Sangyang language, so that they can live peacefully in the afterlife. In addition, Tiwah of Dayak tribe in central Kalimantan also serves as Dayak tribe procession to release Rutas or bad luck from the family of the dead. For Dayak tribe, death process needs to be continued with another ritual to perfect the dead in order that they do not disturb the comfort of the alive ones. It needs long and complicated preparation with much cost. Besides, a series of this Tiwah procession takes time until days and even a month. The long Tiwah ritual process and big fun for the family who do the tradition mark that they really feel the loss and want to take the spirit to the grave. This ritual has been done since 100 years ago, so that it needs to be preserved. The point of Tiwah ritual is carrying the skeleton of the dead and putting it in sandung or small house which does not touch the ground. The peak of this Tiwah ritual is putting bones which are dug from the grave and purified through special ritual into sandung. However, before that, the harpooning of sacrifice animals like buffalo, cow, and pig is done. Not only Dayak tribe that has a tradition to take the spirit through traditional ceremony with big fun, Toraja tribe in South Sulawesi does the same thing through Rambu Solok tradition, while in Bali, they do Ngaben to deliver the spirit. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the last tradition for the dead. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Hernita, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduce you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you an Indonesian popular singer, Kinan Nasution, who presents in the Indonesian pop music industry. Well, listener, let's listen to the coming song entitled Nuansa Bening by Kinan Nasution. Happy listening.
Pesona ketika kau lewat di hadapanku, biasa saja. Waktu perkenalan lewatlah sudah. Ada yang menari pancaran diri terus menari. mendengar cerita sehari-hari yang wajar tapi tetap mengasyikkan.
Terjadi. Kamu kok nanggapinnya sambil lalu? Ini salah kamu. Kamu bicara. Harusnya kamu.
The name of Kinan Nasution started to be known in the Indonesian music industry when he formed a band called Sabda Nada in 1966 with relatives and colleagues. In 1969, the group changed the name into Gypsy. In 1972, Gypsy adventured to Manhattan, the United States, to film entertainment program in the Ramayana restaurant. In 1975, the Gypsy band, Personal, returned to the country and opened collaboration with Guru Soekarno Putra to produce an album, Guru Gypsy, led by Kinan and Guru Soekarno Putra. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song by Kinan Nasution entitled Di Batas Angan-Angan. Enjoy the song and happy listening.
Bulan perasaan
Apakah dari tatapan matamu singkirkan kelam yang terekam luka hatimu? Bakar pagi tetap malam selalu.
Besides joining with Guru Soekarno Putra, Kinan Nasution also joined with the rock band, namely God Bless, along with two of his brothers, Oding and Debbie Nasution. Listener, if we see in general, solo albums of Kinan Nasution much influenced by progressive rock elements. The style of music is supported by the artistic lyrics and meaningful. The solo albums that have been produced by Kinan consist of 10 albums, and also the single consisting of 4 songs, namely Di Batas Angan-Angan, Saat Harapan Tiba, Kemelut, and Awan Putih. Later, Kinan also released an album namely Bunga Asmara in 1990. Well, listener, that was a glimpse of Kinan Nasution. And to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last 2 songs entitled Dirimu and Di Kelembutan Malam. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Di Di bening malam ini resah intik gerimis datang menghanyutkan siar bulan. Buram kaca jendela semuram waktu yang berlalu, sedang ku masih menunggu ungkapan rasa dari keinginan baikku untuk bersama menempuh jalan hidup. Tak usahlah kau ingat bayangan gelap kenyataan diri tanpa sutradara. Hapus noda kehidupan dirimu di hadapanku, tetaplah bukti demi keinginan baikku untuk bersama menempuh jalan hidup. Ingin selalu dekatku sepanjang hidupku,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Sudah kau datang membawa
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Yes.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.